You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat. I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
I'm Epic Film Guy Justin.
And tonight we're going to be talking about Bloodfather, directed by Jean-Francois Richer. And this has got Mel Gibson starring in just kind of a return to form for him as Mr. Badass Action Star. And this also stars Aaron Moriarty, Diego Luna, Michael Parks, and William H. Macy pops up in this film as, I don't know, his AA sponsor or whatever.
His AA sponsor, that's correct. That's right.
No, this film, Justin, I just wanted to open this very, very briefly, and I know you had to have caught this, like right at the very beginning of the film, Gibson kind of gives this dialogue. He's going back and forth with Macy about society not forgiving him, even after he served his sentence, because he's an ex-con in the film. And you have to really look at that as a parallel to what we've seen Gibson go through in terms of all the scandal he's been plagued with. You know, the voicemails about his wife and the racist drunken rants and everything like that. You know, this is kind of Gibson's way of saying, you know, hey, let it go. You got to get past it. You know, please forgive me for it and whatever. I really liked that touch to it, even though, you know, it might have come off as a little bit forced, but that's definitely the parallel I think they were going for there.
Forced or not, Bloodfather for me was fun. It was a joyride. It was what I expected it to be. I didn't expect it to be anything more than what it was. And in fact, for me, Nick, it kind of actually was above what I thought it would be. I really didn't even know much about the plot other than what I saw in the first trailer. I left it at that because in this day and age, we really like to keep things as big of a surprise as possible on the Epic Film Guys podcast. Oh, yeah. So for me, I watched the first trailer. That was it. And the film that I envisioned
that was
wasn't
quite
even
a while
entirely
ago, too.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast during Epic Previews. I don't know how many months ago, but the film that I sat down and watched tonight, Nick, Bloodfather, was actually quite different than the film I envisioned. Now, let's get this out of the way. We know that in this day and age, old stars, old people that used to be in action movies, people that kind of had their limelight went into the past and they're trying to find a new way to broaden their horizons and find a new niche in the film community, they try to do these action revenge films.
Yep.
You know, Liam Neeson started with Taken, which is definitely still one of the best of the bunch. The original, of course. But, you know, even Sean Penn did it. You know, Pierce Brosnan has done it. You name it.
And, everyone, of course, a film there, that Gibson starred in the sequel of it, but The Expendables as well.
The Expendables is a little bit different. Those are really going
a little
back
bit,
and
but
hearkening back to, you know, 80s, early 90s, straight out bloodfest action films that we all know and love. But, you know, the revenge film, Taken, that started that. And I was really expecting that kind of thing with Bloodfather.
As was I, yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised that it was not a revenge film at all, Nick.
Yeah, no, I was absolutely kind of pleased by that, because when we rented this, it's on video on demand right now, and we watched it on Vudu. But, you know, when the wife asked what it was about, I pitched it to her as kind of like a Taken movie, but with Mel Gibson, because that was what I remembered about it from the trailer. At least that was kind of the impression that I took away. And I was very, very pleased. And it's very apparent from the very beginning of this film, that's not what this is going to be at all.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And for those of you that out there that don't know what it's about an ex-con who reunites with his estranged daughter, a 17-year-old daughter, to protect her from a drug dealer who she gets involved with, who she was in love with. And basically, they're all out trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So.
And that is Aaron Moriarty, who plays his daughter Lydia in the film. And the film kind of opens with her. It doesn't open with Gibson at all. And, you know, it kind of delves into the life that she has plunged herself into at this point. And, you know, I didn't really think that the film went out of its way to explain her being missing. Like, he's got these missing persons things hanging up in his trailer once you finally meet his character, but then you find out his character was in jail for like 9 or 10 years. So
exactly,
none of that really made a ton of sense to me, because when did she go missing? You know, like, none of that is really very well explained. But this film is a brisk 88 minutes, so if you're looking for any kind of deep backstory on all these characters or anything, you're looking in the wrong place, because this is not at all what this film is setting out to do. But like you said, I think I had a lot of fun with this movie. It was great to see Gibson back in this kind of ass-kicking action role,
And I mean, I have to tell you this much, and yeah. I have to throw this at you right now as you just said that. When was the last time you saw a movie with Mel Gibson throwing as many one-liners at the screen as he did in this? And I swear to God, the majority of them all hit. You know, his comedic timing in this, people forget. You know, especially when you watch the Lethal Weapon films, mm-hmm. among many others that Gibson did, he has great comedic timing.
He does.
And he had it in this. I thought a lot of the dialogue was very well written and very well written for Gibson specifically. I found myself laughing in parts that I was like, wait, I didn't think I was supposed to be laughing at this. And I was legit laughing. And my wife, Danielle, watched it with me and she was laughing as well. I mean, it just felt like classic Mel Gibson, but he's just older now. And yeah. It definitely felt like a complete, like you said, a complete return to form for Gibson as an action star.
Yeah, especially his really scenes well with me. William H. Macy. That's where you got a lot of that
those are kind
of comedic back and forth. And William H. Macy actually pulls a pretty good performance in this film. But the centerpiece of this film absolutely has to be the performance from Mel Gibson. He's just got a way as an actor. And be it, you know, the Lethal Weapon films or any of the other films that he's been in, he's got this way of just creating a really layered, rich character. From the moment you meet him, you absolutely love his character. Unless, you know, if you're stuck on the stuff that Gibson did and you kind of can't get past that, then A, why are you watching this movie in the first place? But B, you know, that's going to really hinder your love of the film, but you just got to move past that stuff.
Get the fuck over it. That's my way of saying it. Sorry, Nick, not to put it lightly. I don't care. Get the fuck over it.
You got to kind of let it go. You've got to kind of just forgive him for that. And just let yourself get immersed into the world of this film. And the only thing that they really, really focus on building in this film is the relationship between
him and his
father and daughter. And it's a really great relationship. As you mentioned, she is estranged at the beginning and kind of finds her way back to him. And then it's them basically on the run, you know, trying to avoid getting killed by this drug dealer.
That's your little girl?
Why? You seen her? Missing link tattoo.
Dad, you're fucked up, daughter.
Well, where the hell are you? Can I help you, gentlemen?
I want tattoos.
Nah. Come back tomorrow.
What if I wanted her name? Lydia.
Why don't y'all fuck off?
Don't you fucking turn your back on me, Wood!
I'm gonna get blamed for this breaking parole.
Karen.
Hang on! For those who don't know me, my name's John Lee. And I'm a real success story.
It really reminded me, Nick, of those late 70s, early 80s, you know, kind of like, there's not even really a name for them, not escape films, but they're like, they're on the run, you know, almost, it had a feeling of a Western to an extent. Obviously, we have all of those desert locations, and goddamn, mm-hmm. I have to say, man, you know, when they shot those locations the way that they did, and in some of those scenes, I was in awe. I'm like, wow, you really got that shot, you know, in a fantastic way. Yeah. But, you know, I think, as you said, you know, the key to this movie, the heart of this movie, is the relationship between father and daughter. And I felt it was very realistically portrayed here.
Yeah, I'll absolutely second that. And, you know, even though she's estranged, and I think it takes a while to warm up to her character, I don't think you really
get... It definitely does, yeah.
You know, all that invested in her character right away, but she starts to grow on you as the film goes. But that's part of her character development as she learns to kind of love her father and to respect him and to just be a part of his life again, because she's been without him for so long that they don't have a relationship except for that just innate father-daughter relationship that you would just normally have. And, you know, like I said, this film is a very, very brisk 88 minutes. It does slow down considerably once they reconnect, but it does that on purpose because it wants to develop the relationship between these characters, something I think it does a fantastic job of before it pushes you full throttle into the action. And then I would say, Justin, maybe the last 40 minutes of this film is all action.
I can't even lie. You know, we can get right to it now.
Yeah.
When it gets going, man, it gets going great. And I swear to God, that ending scene, I was cheering. Daniel was like, shut up. My wife, ladies and gentlemen, my wife was telling me to shut up and she was smacking my leg, telling me to be quiet because my daughter's sleeping. But I'm like, no, this is so great. Like, I'm clapping. I'm loving it. You know, when you see Gibson, as we said before, numerous times, and I'm going to keep repeating it, in pure form, like he's back to form. This is Mad Max we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're talking about Mel Gibson, who used to be a huge action star, and you see him back in that role. Now, he has done some stuff, you know, over the past couple of years. You know, he did get The Gringo. He did Edge of Darkness. Some smaller, but yet really good,
Expendables, you know, revenge, 3 and what was it, you know, Machete 2?
Action movies. Yeah, he was in Machete 2 as the villain, and he was also the villain in Expendables 3, and he was decent in those, but I feel like this is the centerpiece. This is the film that you out there, you the Mel Gibson fans, have been waiting for. Everyone knows
for
that.
Years.
I'm not sure. I don't know if you know this or not, Nick, but it recently came out, George Miller actually came out and admitted that the reason he used Tom Hardy for Mad Max was because none of the studios or none of the producers would back the film with Gibson as the star. His original idea was to have Gibson come back to reprise the role in Mad Max Fury Road. No
Which
one would
have
back
been great.
It would have been great. I love Hardy in the role, though, honestly, I will not lie here. As much as I love Mad Max Fury Road, it's one of my favorite movies of the past 5 years. You know, it's still, a part of me still wishes that we've got to see Gibson back in the Max role,
yeah.
You know, because that's his iconic role, people. This is the role that made him big. You know, it's what gave him the opportunity to work in the U.S. and become the big star that we all know and love in the first Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
But This movie right here, Nick, is for me a love letter to, you know, all of the action movies that Gibson had done through the 80s and the 90s. And I feel like this was the best representation of those. And I think he did a fantastic job. And this is probably like my favorite performance I've seen Gibson in a movie. And
a
I can't even remember how long it's been. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a very, very long time since you really see Mel Gibson sink his teeth into a role like this. And, I mean, he's acting his ass off in this. I mean, Gibson has a way of acting his ass off in pretty much everything and making it look pretty much easy. And that's just a credit to how great of an actor he is. But, I mean, this coupled with Hacksaw Ridge, which, as we talked about in the most recent Epic Film Guys episode, he is getting rave reviews and Hacksaw Ridge is getting rave reviews out of Venice. So we've still got to wait another month or so, or another 2 months or so, excuse me, for that film to land. But, you know, I think the 1-2 punch is in place here to kind of push Mel Gibson back into the mainstream. Love him or hate him, he's coming back in a big way. You know,
well, yeah,
and
I mean,
he's really, really positioned himself. I mean, with this film, It's nothing amazing. It's not like you're gonna watch it and be totally blown away by how
much. It's not a game changer. By no means a game changer at all. But it is a great genre movie.
It is.
If you love action movies, if you love, you know, just a fun time at the movies and you want to see Mel Gibson doing his stuff, this is a great movie to do that.
Yeah.
And talking about great reviews, Nick, a movie like this. Think about a movie like this in the year 2016. Right now, 86% fresh on the tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, especially considering it's a Mel Gibson movie. As him as the star, people are warming back up to him. And I think Hacksaw Ridge will be, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, that will be his redeemer, man. This is going to be the movie that brings him back into the good graces of, you know, the elite of the cinephiles and the movie community. I'm really praying and hoping, you know, that the film gets some credit. And this movie's already getting credit. So, I mean, people are liking it. Is Gibson as an actor again, and we all know how amazing of a director he is. So this has got me excited for Hacksaw Ridge even more.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this before when I was actually looking up information on this film. It is strange that this film does not exist on Box Office Mojo, because I was trying to figure out, it opened over a week ago on the 26th of August, and I was trying to find out kind of where it landed, because it wasn't playing in theaters around here, and it wasn't playing in theaters down near Justin. But it was released
on
VOD, and I know people have
DC,
seen it in theaters.
Yeah. And there's I've seen one person that I'm friends with on Instagram post that they'd seen it. I think they maybe live in LA or something. I don't know, but you're special. But I live in DC area, and we usually have one theater down here that plays the smaller stuff. And I was waiting for this to get announced, and they never announced that they were showing it. So I was actually upset about it, because I wanted to give Bloodfather my theater money. I really wanted to support this movie, not only because it has Mel Gibson in it, but because it's a smaller little action movie, you know, and it's very well directed, in my opinion, Nick, and very well shot. You know, there's
it's very, very tightly directed, and I absolutely love that. Yeah, keep going, but yeah, I absolutely have to agree with you on that.
I just have to say, like, it's a breath of fresh air, you know, and we'll be getting into this in our normal episode of the Epic Film Guys podcast this week. But this movie, I really couldn't see any CGI, Nick. If there was CGI in this, I didn't see it. And if
and
it was used, it was used very minimally.
CGI too,
this just felt like a real small awesome, well-shot little action thriller picture starring Mel Gibson, and a very well-directed one, very well-shot one, a very well-acted one. So for me, I was very pleasantly surprised here. This may be just the shining light in the, you know, the midst of the darkness that was this year's summer movie season for me. It may be one of those little gems there that I have to throw on my top five list. I don't know, Nick. I'm just going to say there. You know, it's a movie that made me excited. I felt like I had a really great time with it. It looked good, and I felt like I had a great time.
All right, well, let's get on to ratings of the film here so we can wrap up this little mini-sode. Where did you land on Bloodfather?
You know, like you had said earlier on in this little mini-sode, there's nothing unexpected here, okay? You know, this is nothing revolutionary. It's a very simple
premise,
It checks all the boxes
of the normal action flick.
But when it does so, very unlike a lot of other movies that come out in this day and age, hey, Mechanic Resurrection, We're Looking at You, or any of those other crappy movies that come out, you know, that are trying to, they're really just trying to make money off garbage. This movie's actually pretty good, you know, and for that, you know, for what it's trying to go forward, for being an action vehicle for Mel Gibson and doing a great job at it, I honestly have to give Bloodfather an 8 out of 10 rating because it's not trying to pull any punches, man. You know what you're getting out of it. The performances are all solid. The script, there's some plot holes there, but you have to expect that with an action movie, being the action lover
especially with this runtime.
Yeah, with this runtime, you know, this is literally less than an hour and a half. It's 1 hour and 28 minutes, people. Yep. So it looks good. It's well acted. And if you love Mel Gibson and you love the Lethal Weapon films or his Mad Max films, you're going to love this. So for me, it's got to be an 8 out of 10. I mean, like, I wasn't disappointed in any way. And that ending, man, ooh, that ending is so good. It's literally
the ending really
the
elevates this, yeah. And I'm going to come right off of you there. And I'm not as generous. I'm not going to say 8 out of 10. I'm actually going to go a 7 out of 10 on this. I didn't get anything more than I expected out of it, which I think is exactly what they were aiming for. You're not going to see anything amazingly breathtaking, like it's going to change your life or anything.
Of course not.
But
yeah,
it is a fantastic little film, and it's a great piece for Mel Gibson to show that he's definitely still got the chops. When he wants to, when he wants to pull out a great performance, he's going to, you know. And it's going to be really interesting once 2016 comes to a close, when we've got Bloodfather and Hacksaw Ridge. It's going to be really interesting to see kind of where the world at large lands on Mel Gibson, if they're able
to let everything go
or what's going to happen. But
it's been how many years? I mean, people, they need to get over it, Nick. They need to get the fuck over it. And like I said, you know, and this is one thing. We all know Gibson has charisma, but you want to see Gibson's current charisma? Watch Bloodfather. He's still got it, man.
Oh, he does. He's magnetic on screen, and you absolutely can't take anything away from him. If you put anybody else in this film, it's probably a 5 or 6 out of 10. But just because Gibson's in it and he elevates the material that much with how magnetic and how charismatic he is, you got to give it. And like I said, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10, which is still a very good rating.
It's still great.
You know,
I really loved how he was a beaten, weary guy. He had been in prison. He's been through hell.
Very deliberate,
you know,
as well. You know, very, very
exactly,
deliberate.
Exactly. And on purpose. And it makes total sense, you know. And he's a tattoo artist in a fucking trailer in the middle of the desert. And he's gone to shit. It's totally a metaphor, in my opinion, for what Gibson had to go through in Hollywood and his persona as, you know, going from a big star, you know, Oscar-winning director to everyone fucking hating
him.
And
a persona non grata in Hollywood. Yeah, very, very...
Exactly.
You know, let's push him out to the periphery. Let's ignore him. You know, nobody cares what he's doing anymore because of all the terrible things. And, you know, I think everybody's worthy of redemption. I think everybody's worthy of a second chance. I know we'll talk about that more once we finally do see Hacksaw Ridge, wherever we land on it, you know. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. I loved this film. Justin, you loved this film for what it was. And definitely recommend it. It is, again, on VOD right now, so you can just pull up your Vudu or whatever video on demand service you use and just rent this movie. I paid $7 for it, and it was, you know, it was worth every single penny of it. And I really hope that this sees something in terms of a theatrical presence so that more people can see this and really kind of get what we're talking about. But yeah, there you go. Bloodfather, definitely a big recommendation from the Epic Film Guys. All right, and that is going to do it for this mini-sode of the Epic Film Guys podcast. Every time we do a review, and this is something we talked about in the main episode as well, our reviews are now going to be broken off in these little mini-sodes, make them a little bit more digestible for you. And that way, if you haven't had a chance to check out a film yet, you can check the film out and then come back and hear what we thought. So we definitely appreciate you listening. Please check out Bloodfather, and we'll see you at the movies.